Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksubos Samach Zayin. We're holding at the 10th line from the top of the Amud. I'm picking up from where we left off yesterday. So the wife brings a dowry into the marriage. The husband undertakes to look after these items. He basically takes responsibility upon himself in terms of the value of these items. So if he divorces, she will get back the actual value of those items. But as we learned yesterday, there's some discrepancy in terms of the difference between the actual value of those items and the amount that he accepts upon himself in the ksuba. We have two categories. When it comes to actual cash, actual money that she brings in, over there, he is willing to accept upon himself an additional 50% on top of what she brought. Basically, she brings in $100, he will record, in the ksuba, I accept it upon myself as though I received 150. And the reason is because you can deal with it, you can invest it and make some money. So yeah, he sort of marks it up by 50%. On the other hand, when it comes to actual objects, items that she brings in there, we mark it down. He goes down 20%. Rashi brought two reasons. Number one, because the derech is to sort of exaggerate in their appraisal, to be mesameach the chassan makala, to endear the kala on the chassan. So they mark it up 20%, so their actual value is really 20% less. Another reason is because it loses value when used. The ishtamshus wears it out, it rubs it out, it becomes used, and therefore eventually goes down in value. And he only undertakes it as though it's 80% of what it really is. So if it's something that's worth 100 today, he's only going to write down $80. Okay, so knowing that, continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Shaman Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Hichnis aloi zahav. Suppose she brings actual gold, pieces of gold. Shaman oisoi, so we appraise it, as is, varayukis shavyoi. How much do we record in the ksuba? Actual value. Why? Reason is because you don't do business with, it's like money that you can actually profit from it. It just stays put. So it doesn't deserve that extra 50% markup as though money would have. And on the other hand, it doesn't really lose value. It's not something which is going to get used or rubbed out or worn out, so it stays as it is for long term. Whatever it is, that's what he writes. That's Rabbi Yechanan's chiddush. Zav, actual value. Meisve, here comes a kash. The Brisa says, har hazav, which we assume to mean, you know, actual raw gold, gold bullion. Har yu kekelim, we treat it like kelim. My love kekelim shall kesef. The pachsi, apparently. We're speaking about ordinary kelim, like silver kelim, which get rubbed out. Basically, zahav has the same din. We deduct 20% from their value. Loi kelim shel zahav de loi pachsi. The comparison between zahav and kelim is to kelim made of gold, gold vessels which don't lose, don't get worn out because they're not really used. So actual value is what is accepted and what is recorded in the ksuba. Imkain, if that were the case, that we're comparing raw gold to gold vessels, kikei love mibayle. The Brisa should have said, raw gold is like gold vessels, kikei love, like vessels made of this material. Why does the Brisa say, zav is like kelim, a general term indicating all types of kelim? So that's a kasha which we're not really answering at this point. And later the Gemara will tell us, okay, so we're speaking about a specific type of gold which will get worn out, extra delicate gold. But otherwise, if it's raw gold, solid gold, that just stays as is and he accepts the actual value upon himself. In any case, at this point we have a kasha. it seems from the Brisa that we compare raw gold to ordinary vessels, which lose value. Void Tanya, another Brisa. Zohav, so pieces of gold. Harehu kekelim, we treat it like kelim. That's number one. Second halacha in the Brisa is dinrei zohav. You have actual gold coins. Harehu kekesafim, we treat them like monies. We add a third. We add 50% to the deal because you can wheel and deal with it and make some profit. So two parts to the Brisa. Raw gold, we treat it like kelim. Gold coins, well, that's money, which gets the added 50% in the in the ksuba commitment. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, here comes a dissenting view. He says, "Bemakim shenagu shaloi leparton." If we're speaking about a locale, a place where they can't really practically, use this gold. You can't be pert. Pert means to exchange it for change. You can't break it down to other coins. It's not something which is dealt with. Shaman oison, so we appraise them. We treat them as is, actual value. Because you don't really deal with it, you don't invest it. So it's not going to generate income. That's the Brisa. So again, the Brisa began with a Tanakamu, who said, Zov is treated like Kalim, which sounds like you deduct 20%, like a kli that gets worn out. And Dinrei Zov, that's like money, which gets the additional 50% markup. Now, Rabban Shimon Gamliel was disagreeing with something. With what? Rab Shimon Gamliel Ahayi, which one of these two halachas was he referencing? Ilay Ma'asefa, perhaps on halacha number 2, which was Dinei Rezov, are treated like monies. Come as Rab Shimon, he says, well, if practically you can't really spend it, then it doesn't get the additional 50% markup as money would. That's his shita. Mechlad Tanakama Savar. So what does the Tanakama hold? Even if you can't really spend it, we treat it like money, which gets an additional 50% markup. How could you say that? Halei nafki, you can't really spend it. You can't earn from it. You can't invest it. You can't profit from it. What does he mean? Oh, Ela Lavarish, apparently. Rabban Shimon Megamliel was referencing the first halach. Vechikama. The Brisa means like this. Zohav, raw gold, pieces of gold, Hariyuki Kalim. We treat them like vessels. My Kalim, what type of Kalim? Kalim shall kesef. Ordinary, typical silver dishes, which get worn out, and therefore he marks it down by 20%. That's Tanakamo. Rabban Shimon Megamliel Omer, I disagree. Harihu Kedinorin shall zahav. I treat raw gold like gold coins, Bemokim shenago shaloi lefarten, in a place where you can't really spend it. So it doesn't really have, business value. And therefore, we don't add to it. We don't inflate it. The husband just accepts it as is. Bottom line is that the Tanakhama holds. We treat this gold like kalem. Kalem that will get worn out. We deduct 20%. That's a kasha on Rav Yechanan, who said that gold, you evaluate as is. Answers the Gemara lo'ilam ha'sefa. No, perhaps Rabban Shimon Megamliel was referencing the second halacha. Dinarizah of gold coins. So what's the machlekes? Gold coins, you could spend it, you could invest it, you could profit from it. So what's the machlekes? Oh, with the nafki alideat chak. We're speaking that you can't really readily spend it. It's a place where they don't really use gold coins. It's not a convenient method of payment and of doing business transactions. Ubal kamiflugi, and this is the point of machlekes. How do we deal with these coins? Is it money? Because technically you can use it to invest, to buy, to sell. But practically, it's not so useful. It's not so common to employ this type of currency. Ubal kamiflugi, this is the point of machlekes. Mar Savar Kivan the Nafki Meshabchinelo. So the Tanakhama holds that ultimately, since you could spend it, given the nafki, mishabchinelo, we are mishabeach, we add to its value. You can make from it, you can earn from it. We add the 50% addition. Umar Savar, Rabban Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says, given the nafki, elai de etchak, since ultimately you can only use it with difficulty, loy bishabchinelo, does not have a din of currency. And therefore we don't add to it. So it's a very specific machlekes and a very specific type of coin. Another way to learn the brisa is as follows: Kulo Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. The whole brisa from beginning to end is the same shita of Rabban Shimon. The brisa sometimes is presented as though it's missing some words. It's written in brief, concise form, and we are meant to read it as follows: Zahav Hariyuki Kalim. Gold? Well, that's like kalim. What type of kalim? Well, we assumed it meant kalim of zahav, meaning gold vessels which aren't really used, don't get worn or rubbed out. So pieces of gold, we treat them as is, we don't add to the value, we don't deduct from its value. The husband is mekabel upon himself the actual value. Dinarei zahav, you have gold coins, which are technically considered currency. Harihen k'ksafim, we treat them as funds, as money. In which case, he's willing to add 50% because of the income that generates. B'amei dvar mamurim, when is that said? B'mokim shenagol l'partim. Well, you can use these coins to do your transactions. Avo b'mokim shenagol sheloi l'partim. But in a place where you can't really use this as currency, it's not accepted. It's not an accepted method of payment. Shaman oisam, oisam varei hein b'shavyein, we treat them as is, the actual value. Divei Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that's a shita. Sheh, we add the sheh. Sheh, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, because we know Rabban Shimon holds. V'mokim shenago shalil parton. If it's a location, a community, a city where you can't really use this as cash, shaman oisam, so we praise these items as is. Parayhein b'shavyei. But the bottom line is, there's no machlokes in our brisa pertaining to our question. We spoke about gold bullion, gold, raw gold, not coins, raw gold, which according to Rabbi Yochanan, the husband accepts it as is, actual value, no more, no less, because it's not really currency to be used in business transactions, which will generate profit. It's not something which gets worn or rubbed out. It just sits on the side as an investment, as a keepsake. So it doesn't really generate income. It doesn't lose anything. And therefore, the actual value is what he commits himself to. The Brisa spoke about different cases of coins. Is it currency? Is it not currency? Totally different sukkah. Okay, so we answered the kasha from this Brisa, but remember we had a kasha earlier from Brisa number one, which said Zov is like kalim. Zov is kalim. Just like regular kalim are considered something which lose value, they get worn out as the time goes by, and therefore the husband sort of deducts from it in advance. Zohav is the same halacha. So he answered, no, kalim means kikalim shel zohav, which is sitting in the break front, not used at all, and therefore we accept them as is, actual value. The question was, mekal makim, ultimately we had a kasha, kikalim mi boile, then it should have said, for speaking about gold vessels, it should have said, well, gold, pieces of gold are like gold vessels, kikalim. Kasha, indeed, it's a difficulty. Or we can say like this. The price that compares gold bars to silver kalim, which get worn out, is speaking about not gold bars. It's speaking about little pieces of gold, which are delicate, which can get worn out. Hachab mayaskinim b'dahava pricha. We're speaking about delicate, thin, delicate pieces of gold which can get worn out and ruined. And yeah, in that case, by handling it and using it and looking at it, you're gonna scrape it and rub it and wear it out. So it deserves a 20% deduction. Rav Ashi Omer, another Torah, b'mamla. Ashi says it's dak shel zov, another version of very thin, delicate pieces of gold. Taisa says it's zov anitel min ha'aretz mitzoy, the way it looks when you actually mine it. So small, you know, nuggets and things which can get worn out. Yeah, so over there we treat it like a regular kalim, like regular items which you have to deduct 20%. So bottom line is, in terms of gold in the Ksuba, we have three types of gold. Gold coins, which are actually used, so that's those are considered like ordinary currency, like funds which can produce income, so he adds 50%. He gets 100, he writes 150. If it could only be used al-yedei adchak, that perhaps is a machlekes tanoim. Then on the other hand, we have gold which is delicate and gets worn out. We treat him like kalim, so he deducts 20%. Then we have that middle stage, the gold bars, which is neither this nor that. It's not a kli which gets used and worn out. On the other hand, it's not considered currency, which can be invested and dealt with and used for profit making. So that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is shaman oisai v'arayu kishavyai. We treat it as is. He accepts upon himself, he commits himself to the actual value of that gold. Now the Gemara will present several more examples of really items which we treat as though they are considered currency, as though they're considered monies, various forms of monies, because they're used for, you know, business dealings and they're used for profit making, and therefore he treats them as if they're monies, in which case he accepts upon himself the value plus 50%. Amar Rabbi Yama, besamim shel Antuchia, in the place Antuchia, they have besamim, which Rashi says is the ikar shchera, that's their, you know, their main primary commodity. It says the Gemara rehen kiksofim, in that locale, the besamim are considered like money, in which case he adds 50%. It's something which is dealt with regularly, that's their primary source of income, of profit. She brings him in besamim, he treats it like cash. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Achmenia Rabbi Yechanan, another couple examples we have. Gemalim shel Aravya, camels in Aravya. Isha goiva parnameim. Parnam means a profit. The wife will earn a profit, meaning the husband commits to an extra 50% because this is a commodity which earns an income in that locale. Omar Apapi hani tusvi debe michsi. You have the blouses, the begadim, in the place called Mirsi. Once again, this is something which is an earner, a money earner, an income generator. Isha goiva parnamem. If the Isha brings these items into the marriage, she will accept an extra 50%. Vamra papi, hani saki, sacks, the rudya, in the place rudya. Vaashli, ropes, the kamachunya, in that other place. Isha goiva parnamem, here as well, she gets an extra 50% profit. Okay, so on a similar topic, Amarava, Mereisha Ave Amina, initially I would think, Hani Arnaki de Machoisa. You see, when an Isha collects her ksuba payout upon her husband's death, etc., typically she collects from karka, because primarily a person relies on real estate for collection of his debt, of his claim, of a ksuba. A shibud is nigba from karka. But, says Rava, initially, I had figured that in Mechoiza, since they're such a grand businessmen over there, and that's their ikar commodity, their arnakim. Arnakim means their, you know, their money bags and their cash. It's something which is around all the time. Everybody's busy with these things. I had figured it's something so accessible, so prevalent, so realistic. The Isha is sort of relying on that as well. Hani arnaki de Mechoiza, the arnaki in the town Mechoiza, with these great businessmen, Isha goiva parnamehem, the Isha can be goiva, she collect her ksuba payout from these money pouches. My time away, asmachtayu alai, because you're relying on these things. Kiven the chazoy, but once I saw the shakl huvanavki, that the women, when they get these money pouches, what do they do with it? They don't just put it in the bank. Shakl, they take them, venavki, they walk out, v'chimishkachi ara, when they find a piece of land, oh, real estate, jump straight into it. Zavni bihu, she would purchase the land with this money. Amina, so now I concluded, asmachtayu ha'arahu. Apparently the Noshim are really, really, really banking and relying on the real estate, which they ultimately purchase. So the Iker smichas das is on karka, not on the money, and therefore, let's go back to the original notion that the shibud of the gviyas ksuba pertains to karka itself and not to anything which is here today and gone tomorrow. Continues the Mishnah. Hamasi is bito istam. A father marries off his daughter and never really discussed specifics regarding dowry. Lo yifchas la mechamishim zuz, he should give no less than 50 zuz for the dowry. Pasak lachnisa aruma. Suppose the father tells the husband, look, you know, I'm not really dressing her. I'm not in charge of her clothing. Lo yomar habal. So the husband can't respond by saying, look, true, I am responsible to clothe my wife, but I'll do that when she comes into my rishus. Kishachnisena lebeisim, when I bring her into my home, then achasena b'ksusi, I'll give her some clothing. Until then, I'm not responsible. He can't do that. Elo mechaso va'oido b'beis avia. Since he ultimately is responsible to clothe his wife, he has to do it in advance of the marriage so that she comes into his house with what she has. V'chein ha'masi esa yesoima. The same idea of the, you know, the 50 zuz minimum dowry applies to a gabbai tzedaka, a community administrator of tzedaka who's marrying off a yesoima. Lo yifchas lo mechamishim zuz. The gabbai shouldn't give less than 50 zuz for the for the dowry. Im yesh bekis, and certainly if there is enough money in the account, mefarnes and oisel v'kvoid, of course they have to give her in accordance with her needs. So 50 is just a minimum from which you can go upward based on their abilities. Amar Abaye chamishim zuz ipshiti. When we speak about 50 zuz that the gabbai tzedaka has to provide, we're speaking about the 50 low value zuz. You know, there are two types of zuz. Low value zuz, which is an eighth of the more expensive, zuz tzuri. How do I know that? Mimai. B'diktani sefer. Because, take a look at the last line of the Mishnah. Yesh bekis, if there is enough available in the account, the tzedakah account, mefarnes nicely v'kvoid, they give her according to her status, according to her needs. V'arminan, and we explained on this. My kis, what does kis mean? Merchava arnechi shal tzedakah. The tzedakah account in town. Right? Now, if we speak about 50 zuz as the more, higher value currency, that's a lot of money. So you tell me, minimum is 50 zuz. If they could, they add way more. Well, you're already at the top. How much more do you have to add? Let's say there is more in the account. How much more do you have to give her? You're giving a huge amount. Because 50 zuz of tzuri is an astronomical sum. Apparently, when we speak about 50 zuz in the Mishnah, we speak about the lower value coin. Tana Rabban. Yosem v'yoseima shebo lisparnes. Okay, so we have an orphan, a yosem, and a girl who is a yoseima. And they both need to be supported from tzedakah. What is our priority? Let's say we don't have enough to go around. Who gets first? Mefarnes and Nesayosim, first the female, v'achakach, and afterwards Mefarnes and Nesayosim, the orphan boy. Why? Because the boy is accustomed to going around and collecting. It's not such a big deal for him. So first we provide for the girl to spear her shame and embarrassment, and only then we accommodate the boy. Vein isha darkoi lachzor. So Isha Daka Lachsa, Bene Isha Daka Lachsa, but the Isha, it's not her derech to make her rounds and collect, it's more embarrassing for her, so we spare her that experience. Likewise, Yasem v'Yisem, Shiboli Nasi, we have a Yasem and Yisem coming to to arrange for their marriage, and we need to provide for them. Who gets first? Masina say Yosoma. First the Yosoma. Masina say Yosoma. After which we provide for the boy. Why? Because a girl just socially needs to get married more desperately than a man. A single girl is in a greater state of distress and embarrassment, and therefore we take care of her first, and then we arrange for the boy. So we have a yosim who comes to the tzedakah, help me get married. So what's the system? First, we get him a home. We rent an apartment. We provide his bed and all his domestic, kalim, his needs. Afterwards, we give him the wife. Shenemar deimach soroy asher yechsa loy. Pasuk by Tzedaka tells us that we provide for his needs based on a logical, responsible system. Go in order. What does deimach soroy mean? Zehabayis, a home, which is the most basic personal need, a home, a roof over one's head. So that's number one. Once he has that, we get the utensils, which can be used in the home. Asher yechsar, next part of the pasuk, that's zemita veshulchan, a bed and a table. The word loy, asher yechsar loy, oh, that's the wife, zuisha. V'cheinu oimar, as the pasuk says, eser loy, eze connected. Hashem says, I will provide Adam Rishon with a wife. So the machsara is the bias, asher yechsar, these are the utensils, loy, the wife. Tana rabbanon, de machsara. So the pasuk tells us, you provide for the poor man in accordance with his basic needs. We learn from here, ata mutsuva olav lefarnasai. You are commanded by Hashem, we are meant to provide for his needs. For his needs, vi ata mutsuva olav laashrei. But we're not meant to. We're not obligated to provide him with wealth, more than he needs. Meaning we don't give him extra for the future. We give it to him day by day. Make an arrangement. We provide in accordance with his needs. Whether it's a daily, a week, whatever arrangement we have. But we don't have to give him extra for long term. The pasuk continues. Asher yechsar loy. So this brisa will have a different drasha than the brisa before. Asher yechsar loy is an added point. Give him deimach soroy, basic needs. What's asher yechsar loy? What is lacking to him? What he still needs? What does he still need? Here comes a chiddush. A filu sus lirkev olav. Suppose this fellow used to be wealthy. He lost it all. He's accustomed to certain things. He used to ride a horse. He used to have an eved running in front of him, an honor guard, a marching band. You have to provide for his needs. And some of Farshim learn, was speaking that it's not yet known that he lost his money. So he's still trying to save face. And we have to help him maintain his dignity. And at least, allow him to outwardly present himself as a man of wealth, a man of needs, a man of means. Afilu sus lirkev olav, even his horse to ride on. Ve'eved lorot lefanav, and have an run before him in his honor. Amru olav al hilal azokin, the following was said regarding hilal azokin, the great Tana. Shelokach la'oni ben tovim echad, there was an oni who was from an upstanding, respectable family, and people didn't know that he lost his wealth. So Hillel procured for him what? These two items. Sus lirkev olav, a horse for riding. Ve'eved lorot lefanav, and a slave to run before him. In fact, it so happens that one time Leimotze Eved Loris Lefanav, he couldn't find the Eved to run before him. Verotz Lefanav Shloisha Milan, Hillel Hazokin himself personally ran before him for a distance of 3 mil to give him honor, to help him maintain his dignity. Tana Rabbanan. Masa, there was a story Ba'anshe Golil Ha'olim, people living in the Upper Galilee. Shelokhu La'oni Ben Tov Me'echa Mitzi Pari. There was a similar situation, an ani from an upstanding family, and they purchased for him, for his needs, for his meal needs, litra basar, meat, which was a certain amount, right? Literally, like a liter, a certain amount of basar, b'chol yom, on a daily basis. Asks the Gemara, what's the big deal? Literal basar, my rabusa, what's the big deal about a literal basar? It's standard fare for many people. Amar afuna, literal basar, mishal oifas. I was speaking about bird's meat, which apparently was more expensive. But same, another pshat, but literal basar, mamish. It means like this, that they purchased the basar using a litra of coins. So it's like a liter of coins, which apparently was a large amount of money, and he needed it, so they got it from him. Ravashi Omar, he gives another teretz. Hasam kfar katan haya. Let's go back to the original pshat. We're speaking about the measure of meat. How much meat? A liter of meat. The question was, why is that a big deal? The answer is, it was a small town, small village. Kfar katan haya. B'chol yoyma. And therefore, on every day, since they had to provide them with fresh meat, they didn't have refrigerators. B'chol yoyma hava mafse dechayusa. They would slaughter an animal, amatulte, for his needs. It was a small town. They didn't have, you know, much demand, much need for meat in that town. So it turns out that every day they had to slaughter an animal to take care of him and pretty much give up on the rest of the meat, which would go to waste. And that was a chiddush because he needed it. Ha'uda asa, the commander of Nechemya. So there was an ani who came to Rav Nechemya. Amar Lei, so Rav Nechemya asks him, Bama, tell me what you're accustomed to eating. Amar Lei says, me? I eat only gourmet food, the basar, shamay, v'yayin, yashan, fatty meat and aged wine. So, Rav Nechemya tells him, look, sorry, I can offer you my menu, but that's it. Ritzoincha shetegalgeilin. Imi ba'adashim, are you okay with sharing my beans, my lentils? Okay, gilgil imi ba'adashim omeis. He shared his meal and he died. He just couldn't handle this type of food. He was accustomed to higher standards of eating. Omar, Sir Rabbi Nechemya, says, Oiloi lizeh, Shaharga Nechemya. Poor fellow that was killed by Nechemya. Referring to himself, Nechemya said this, right? This fellow died on my hands. Adarab, says the Gemara, just the opposite. Why is he sort of blaming the poor man? Poor man. Like it's almost your fault that you died through me. Adrabba, oylo le Nechemya shehargai shehargai lezemi boy. They should have said, whoa. Oh, he's like, whoa. Instead of saying whoa to this fellow who died through me, he should have said whoa to myself who brought about this person's death. Ella, rather, he was trying to say like this. Yes, woe to that person. Ew, who, this fellow. Who de lo yiboyle lefnuke nafshi kuli had. This fellow's at fault. He shouldn't have raised his standard so high, after which he couldn't live up to it, and then he had to just, you know, he suffered as a result, and this is the consequence. So this fellow, woe to him. He should have kept a simple standard of living, which he could have supported. Look what happened to him now. Ha'hud Aslam kameh de Rabba. The story of another fellow comes to Rabba. Amar Lai. So the rabbi asks this poor man, "Bamata soy, what are you accustomed to eating? What's your menu?" Amar Lei says, "Me, gourmet only. Matar negoilas petuma, a stuffed chicken, a fatty chicken, a healthy chicken, v'yayin yashin, aged wine. That's what I eat." Amar Lei, so the rabbi asks him, "You can't lower your standards a bit. You're a poor man. You're living off the community fund. You're not concerned about being doichik the tzibur, but extracting extra funds from them, lower your standards and live simply." Amar Leis, the poor man says, "Look, I'm a fellow who has full faith and trust in Hashem. Atu midit hu kachilna. Am I eating from them? With the Rachmana kachilna, Hashem is feeding me. The Tanina, look at the Braisa. Pasuk says, Einei koil eilecho yisaberu. Everybody looks up to Hashem and yearns for Hashem and relies on Hashem. Va'ato noisin lehem es achlam. And Hashem, you provide for their needs. V'itoi, in his time. Why did we switch from plural to singular? Right? Their needs, in his time, referring to a specific person. The answer is v'itam loinema. Rather than say, Hashem, you provide for all of them in their time, according to their needs, according to their circumstances. It doesn't say that. Ela be'itoy, according to every specific person's circumstance, according to his situation, according to his health situation, according to his personal needs. We learn from here, every individual person is provided separately and individually by Hashem, according to his taste, his needs. I'm not concerned about depleting the public. Hashem provides what I need. Adahachi, listen to what happened. As they were talking, Asoy Achse de Rava. Suddenly Rava's own sister arrives from out of town, and he hadn't seen her for 13 years. The Lechaz Leitlesri Shni. She didn't see him for a 13-year visit. She didn't see him for 13 years, and suddenly she shows up with a nice gift. V'asile, and she brings to him, guess what? No less than Tarnagoyles Petuma V'yayin Yoshan, this fatty chicken and a high-quality wine. Omar, so Rava's thinking to himself, wow, this is something unusual. Hashgacha brought this. Ma'idu kam, look what's going on here. What happened suddenly? I got this delivery, 13 years, haven't seen her. She shows up at the right time, at the right moment, holding no less than these two items that we're speaking about. Omar Leis, so Rava was so taken by it, he turns to the poor man, he says, Nanesi lach, I spoke too much. I overspoke. You're right, Hashem delivered. You asked, and Hashem delivered. Kum echol, go ahead and eat. Have a good meal, enjoy. Tan Rabban. Oh, now we have a complicated situation. Ein loy. So this fellow is really poor. He can't afford to provide for himself. Ve'ein roi to his parents. He's too proud. He doesn't want to take from tzedakah. What do? We have to take care of him, but he doesn't want. Noisn loy lishum halva. So we offer him some money as a loan. That's why he'll take it. And then we switch it to a gift. We don't demand payment. We don't accept payment. This is Rameh's opinion. They also hold, likewise, that we meant to try to find a way to give him with dignity, but they put it a little differently. First, we offer it to him as a gift. And if he refuses, then we give it to him as a loan. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? L'shamatana, you're offering him a gift. He doesn't want to take a gift. Halei shakel, he doesn't want to take a gift. Amar Rav liftech l'shamatana. So the Gemara first figured, we give it to him as a gift. And then we sort of ask it back from him. No, he's not going to take it. No, that's not what he means. Liftech l'shamatana means we offer it as a gift. So we say, Rabbi, we have some extra money. You want to take it? No, I'm not going to take it. What about a loan? Sure, I'll take it. Now, what's the advantage of the Chachamim's approach over the Tanakhama? Because now, once you tell him it's a gift, so when he takes it as a loan, ultimately he'll take it as a loan, in the back of his mind, he'll understand our motive. We're trying to really give it away. It's just, we're packaging it as a loan. But really, he knows that he doesn't owe it back, and that puts him at ease, knowing that he's not really going to have to pay it back. So that's the advantage. At the Maila, the Chachamim prefer this route. So this is all about a person who really doesn't have. We find a way to give it. What about Yeshle? A person's loaded, but he's stingy. He can't forget himself. He doesn't want to use his money to provide for himself. What are we going to do now? This fellow is an even bigger ani. He's an ani bedas. In perspective, he can't allow himself to access his funds. So what do we do now? So we give it to him as a gift. But we demand repayment. What do you mean? Chayzer and affirm him. If we ask him to repay, he'll never take again. Sulay shak, he's never going to take it from us again. Amar papa lachar misa means we take it back after his death. So during his lifetime, we give, and we keep track of what we give. And after his passing, we collect it from his assets. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees. Yeishloi. So the fellow has access to money and he refuses to use his own funds. Amos, just leave him alone. We don't have to get involved. But let's say he doesn't want to accept from us, but we know he doesn't have access to money. He needs us. So going to Rav Shimon, we adopt a third approach. We tell him, look, Havi Mashkin, bring a collateral, bring something, some sort of item. And you'll take the loan. This way, We maintain his pride and his dignity. Kadesha tezuach da to olav. Now he's all proud of himself. Look, it was a real loan. In fact, I gave them a security. This way, you won't feel bad about taking the money. So this is a third approach to this type of situation. You have Rav Meir, Chachamim, and Rav Shimon. Turn up on them. The pasuk says, "Havid tavitenu." Provide, provide. It's a duplicate lashon. What are we learning from here? Havid. The first word is zeh she'ein loy, ve'ein loy lispanis. That's that first fellow. He doesn't have to support himself. He doesn't have. Shenoisin loy l'shema ava. First we pretend it's a loan. V'chayzrin v'noisin loy l'shema tana. And then we turn into a gift. We don't demand repayment. We don't accept repayment. The pasuk says havet ta'avitenu. The second word ta'avitenu is teaching us as follows. Zeh she'yesh loy ve'ein eretz l'sparnes. That's the other fellow. He's so stingy on himself. He has, but he doesn't want to use it. Shenoisin loy l'shema tana. We pretend that it's a gift. After his death, we take it back. Which corresponds to the previous price. I said, leave this fellow alone. He doesn't care for himself. We don't have to get involved. If he has enough money for himself, unwilling to access that fund, we don't get involved. Why does the pasuk says tavet tavitenu? It's just a form of speech. Divra Torah, Torah sometimes converses Kalosha B'nei Adam, the way people speak, but there's no additional halacha to be learned from this pasuk. Says the Gemara Mar Ukva, the Amora Mar Ukva, Hava Anya, there was a poor man b'shivavusa in his neighborhood. They have a ruggle called Yoyma. Every day Mar Ukva had a habit of going to him, had a custom of going and delivering a daily stock. The Shadilei Arbo Azuzi, he would toss. He would deposit four zuz b'tzinura, the dash, and the tzinur of the dash, meaning in the hinge of the door, there was a little like a hole in the ground into which the door hinge goes. Right over there, he used to deposit the four coins. And it was done anonymously. Matan Masesa, the recipient had no idea who his benefactor was. Okay, curiosity got a better of him. Yoyim Echad, one day, Yoyim Echad, Omar, this fellow says, Ezel, I want to go out and see. Echsi, I'm going to take a look. Manka Avid B. Hautivusa. Who's this fellow who's doing such a taiva with me? Who's giving me all this money? How Yaima? So happens to be that that specific day, this fellow had hashed this plan. Marukva got delayed in the Beis HaMedrash. Noga Leila Marukva, the Beis HaMedrash. Marukva got delayed in the Beis HaMedrash. So it was very late, and perhaps late at night. Asiyad Visu Badei. So his wife went there to escort, to walk him back home. They're walking home, and walking by this fellow's house, and about to drop the money in. Kivan the chazyu. So once this fellow notices the couple approaching his door, the kamatzle ledasha, that he was bending down to the dasha, to the hole there, to put in the money, nafak basra, suddenly opens his door and he starts chasing them. Rot mekame. So they escaped, they ran away, they didn't want, he should notice who they are. Aili, Lau Atuna. They noticed the Atuna, this oven on the side. They figured, okay, what better place to hide than an oven? He's not going to think we're an oven. They have a Grufa Nura. So it was an Atuna, an oven, from which the Nura, the fire, had been raked. It was still hot, but there was no actual, fire burning. Hava Kamekalion Kari de Maruka. So Marukva and his rabbits are sitting in this oven, and Maruka's feet suddenly getting hot and starting to burn. Amrle Dvisos, his wife tells him, I have a solution. Shkol karech, take your feet. Oisiv akaray, put it on my feet. I'm not feeling any heat. Chalosh dati, Marukva started feeling bad. Why is she being zoichat, protection, and I'm feeling the heat? Does she stand higher than me? Is she a greater tzedekas than me? What's going on? Amra lei, so she tells him, no. This is specifically related to tztaka, because anosh chichna begavei de beis. I'm usually at home, right? And when I give tzedakah, it's different than your tzedakah. You give coins, but I give actual food, which can be used right away. Makarva anayasi, the anah, is immediate. What I give to the poor man that comes to my door has immediate benefit. It can be used right away. So my chutzat tzedakah, in a way, is higher than yours, and therefore I'm protected right now. Okay, end of story. Umay kulihai, what's the big deal? Why were they running away from this person? Let them see them. What's the big deal? Answer is, the Amar Mazuch, Brei Bar Tuvi, Amar Rav. Some say it was Amar Rav Huna, Bar Bizna, Amar Shim Chazdida. Some say it was Amar Yechim, Shim Yechai. What do they say? Noyach Leila Adam Shiyim Sar Atzmai Letechkiv Shanaish. A person would rather, should rather, be willing to toss himself into a burning furnace, like Maruk found his wife, allow himself to get burnt, and spear the other person from shame and embarrassment. Val Yalvin Pnei Chaver Barabim. Just don't embarrass this person in public. That's why they were running away. They were running for their lives and willing to put themselves in danger. Minolan, how do we know that embarrassing, being malbin and whitening a person's face from shame and embarrassment is more severe than anything else? Mitomer, we find by Tomer, Yehuda, the Tzaddik Yehuda's daughter-in-law, right? He interacted with her, and then came time, they found out that she was Mizana, and they were going to burn her. And what did she say? She was being taken out to be killed. And she didn't point a finger at Yehuda as the culprit. She says, well, I have some items here that belong to the person who, the guilty party, and this is what it is. And Yehuda himself acknowledged, he says, Sadka Mimani. In fact, she's the righteous one, but she refused to point a finger at him, to incriminate him. She was willing to allow herself to get killed, to be burnt, give shanaish, rather than embarrass Yehuda. Everybody asks this kasha here. But Ben Yayad, the others, sure, rather be nisraf in a kivshan eish than embarrass somebody. Fine, but Marukva wasn't embarrassing this person. This person was embarrassing himself. He chose to be curious and run after him. Why is Marukva running into a fire? To avoid embarrassing this person who's really embarrassing himself. Says the Ben Yayada, this person was just curious. Some random person is dropping off this money. I have to see him, I have to thank him. He had no idea this was Mar Ukva, the Nasi. A Nasi is a different story. Should he see the Nasi as the person giving him the money, he would be dead embarrassed. A leader of the community. If he knows, probably everybody knows. Because he's a known person, visible, famous. Everybody's following him around. If he's coming to my doorstep every morning, most probably the whole community knows about my situation, and that would be very embarrassing to him. Marukva worked this all out in his mind. On the spur of the moment, at that split second when this fellow started chasing, Marukva's thinking, okay, he probably doesn't know that it's me. He doesn't know I'm the Nasi bringing it to him. Should he see me, he's going to be dead embarrassed as a public figure being his benefactor. This is very embarrassing. I'm going to bring about his embarrassment, and therefore he ran away. Says the Gemara, there was another story with Maruk. Have Ani b'shem Vusa, he had this neighbor in Ani, Davarogel, Ishduralei, he had a habit of sending him, Arba Me'ezuzi, 400 Zuz, Kol Mali Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur. Yom Achad, so happens that one time, Shadrinu Ni'alei Bad Brei, Maruk used his son as a messenger to deliver the money. Also, his son returns home, Omer Leila Tzarech, tells his father, look, this fellow doesn't need the money. Omar, his father asks him, "My chazos, what did you see that led you to that conclusion?" So he says, "Look, chazoi, I notice he's leading a wealthy lifestyle. The mezafili and yoshin, they're sprinkling this aged wine all over his house to keep the dust down. This is some sort of high cost type of adventure. Apparently, he's a man of means. He doesn't need our tzedakah." Omar, so his father responded to the opposite. Mefani kuli hai. He's such a finicky person. He needs to use the ayin yoshan for ziluf. This fellow is in deep trouble. He has real high needs. He really needs the money. Aifinu. So he doubled the amount. From 400 to 800. Vishadrinu nelein is sent it with his son. Kikanicha nafshi. When Maruk was passing away, Omar, he says, look, aysulichush benoy destak. Bring me the ledger. With the tzedakah account, Ashkach, he looks through the numbers and he finds the havak sibe. It came up to the following amount: shivas alfe dinri, 7,000 dinarim, si'anki, high value coins. That was the total tzedakah that he gave throughout his lifetime. Omar, he says, that's not enough. Zavdoi klili, very little food for the road. V'urcha rechikta, and such a long trip. about to pass away and travel up to Shemayim, it's such a turn. You're saying, look, I'm going on a long journey with so little provision, I have to give more tzedakah. This is not enough tzedakah, not enough zechusim. Come, bazbaze, lepalgi, mamoine. So he went ahead and he distributed half his funds, half his assets. Hechi David Hachi, how can he do that? More than a fifth? And I meant to do more than a fifth. Va'amar b'loi. We know that Be'usha, when the Sanhedrin was stationed in Usha, they made a takani, skinu am vazbiz. When you distribute tzedakah, al yivazbiz, you say mechamish, don't give more than a fifth. Right? The Gemara said, because he's going to become a burden on the community, so how can he give more than a fifth? Answer is, well, he's passing away. He's not becoming a burden on anybody. Hanimili mechaim. That's when a person's alive. Shema yered ben achasav, he might lose all his money and then become a burden. Avalachar misa, but once he's passing away, less than there's no concern. Rabbi Abba, what would he do? How would he give tzedakah? In the most respectable way. Have a tzayir, zuzi, he would take zuzim and wrap it up with sudre in his cloth. Vishadid lelachari and toss it behind him so that the ani picks it up anonymously. Umamtsi nafshi lebeani, and he would walk around and place it where the anim I found. And he would drop the coins behind him. Umatsli eine miramoy. And, he would peer sort of sideways to make sure there were no dishonest people taking the coins. So that much he saw. He was keeping an eye on the money to a certain extent to make sure that the anim took it, but he didn't really give it to them directly, so it wasn't an embarrassment. Okay. Bezal Hashem will continue the sugya tomorrow. So what did we learn today? When a husband is mekabel upon himself, in the ksuva, the dowry amount, the value of the dowry, well, it's all relative to what's being spoken about. Monies, funds, cash, actual cash value stuff. So that has added value because he can transact with them, he can do business, he can invest and profit from them, so it gets a 50% markup, as opposed to kelim, which get worn out and used up. So that goes down 20%. Regarding zov, all it depends. Gold coins, that's money. If it's raw gold and solid gold, don't get used up, nor can it be used as currency. So that just stays as is. Whereas delicate nuggets and stuff like that, so that's like kelim, it can get worn out, so it gets the 20% mark down. We discussed various items in various states, which are considered like currency, in which case the husband is more than happy to accept these things as part of his dowry. He profits from it, he adds 50% in the ksuba. The minimum amount for the dowry is 50 zuz, whether it's a father with his daughter, whether it's the gaboy tzedakah using the community fund. A boy, a girl comes before the boy in terms of maybe parnasa, in terms of marrying off as well. First we get this fellow a house, kelim, and then a wife. Tzedakah provision is as per need, whether it's actual need or emotional needs as well. The sus, the eved, we had the story of Hillel HaZaken who personally provided that need for the ani ben toivim. We had the fellow who exhibited a high degree of amunah and suddenly he got a delivery straight from Hashem. We discussed how to deal with a fellow who's not willing to accept tzedakah. In one case, he doesn't really have at all. In the other case, he doesn't want to access his money. How we deal with these people? We discussed the highest level of tzedakah, which is matan b'seser, doing it in a dignified manner, in which case the recipient has no idea who his benefactor is. We had the story of Mesiras Nefesh by Mar Ukva with his wife, who jumped into the oven to avoid shaming and embarrassing Eid. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.